Okay, so we'll begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Okay, thanks. Okay, you ready? Okay, so it's good that everybody's here. We're going to focus on Luisa and the foundation of who is the foundation of the divine will. Without Luisa Picaretta, there is no divine will. And many people who are focusing or talking about the divine will are not speaking about Luisa. And when they don't speak about Luisa, there's no foundation. And so that's just one of the reasons why a lot of people, when they talk to their pastors or what their pastors have heard, don't listen, because Luisa isn't there. This is all about Luisa Picaretta. This is what Jesus gave to her. And what we are doing is we're reading, we're studying, we're putting this into practice so that we also can begin to live this life that God gave to Luisa. So today what we're going to focus on is Luisa. I have "and the foundation of the divine will," but really Luisa is the foundation of the divine will. And when we have Luisa Picaretta, we really have everything. So, volume 3, 1900. "My daughter Luisa, why do you look for me outside of yourself?" So this is the first thing that Jesus wants us to know. If we want the divine will, we go to Luisa. If we want Jesus in the divine will, we go to Luisa. And he says to us, why do you look for Jesus outside of Luisa in the divine will? If you want the divine will, how can you possess this gift separate from Luisa? She says very clearly, while you could find me more easily within yourself. So when we are studying this gift, when we say to Jesus, how do you want me to live this life of the divine will? Jesus says, go to Luisa. So the more that we understand that Luisa Picaretta is the way to do this, Jesus says, I will show you the way and the how of living in the divine will. So the first place we go is we go to Luisa. So with the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, what we do is we want to have a picture of Luisa. We have some pictures over here. It's important that Luisa greets everyone that comes into your house. The devil's, Father Bucci was telling us a story when we were with him last week, and he said the demons that are all around us, when they see Luisa, they become very annoyed, but they flee. And the reason is what Jesus says in volume 15. He says to Luisa, my mother, he says, crushes the head of Lucifer. He says, but you, Luisa, will also put the final kaput on his head. So what God is doing is he's giving us an understanding of Luisa Picaretta that like daughter, like mother. She does what Our Lady does. She's not Our Lady. No one can compare to the Blessed Mother. Theotokos, Our Lady is the Mother of God, sitting at the right hand of Jesus in the kingdom. What God is asking of us is that we go to Luisa and see, this is how God is working. It's not only going to be the Mother of God that's going to crush the head of Lucifer, but it's going to be a human. As he seduced Eve, Jesus says to Luisa, the second Eve, Mary, crushes his head. But also the third Eve, and this is where what you find in volume 26, the very first day when she goes out into the garden, Jesus says, this garden is a simile of the Garden of Eden. And Jesus says that you, Luisa, are the third Eve. And not the Eve, the destroyer, not the Eve, the one who really caused mankind to fall, but the restorer, you're going to restore everything. You're the one that I am going to use to bring about the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So, Jesus says to Louisa, why do you look for me outside of yourself? You could find me more easily within yourself. So this is something that is very, very important for us. Louisa is essential for us. Jesus says to Louisa that I want you to be my second mother. And he says to us, the little children of the Holy Divine Will now have a third mother. We have our natural mother. We have Mary, mother of all mankind. And now for the little children of the Holy Divine Will, we have a third mother. For, you know, there's 4, 5, 6 other mothers. If you're part of the Third Order Benedictine of the Divine Will, we have Mother Gabriel Marie. As a matter of fact, her birthday was the 2nd of May. You can send her a belated birthday card. You know, it's she, and I said to her, I thank you for being the mother of the little children, Third Order Benedictine Oblates of the Divine Will. And we thank you for the being the foundress of the Benedictine Oblates of the Third Benedictine Oblates of the Divine Will. It's we have to really begin to understand. It's like we've got Father Bucci up here. We've got his head hanging up here. Father Bucci is really our spiritual father. He really has given us so many blessings that we'll understand these later on. But there's many, many blessings that he gives us. Father Jacques Daly, he was a Benedictine, and this is where Father Elijah was his student. And, you know, he went to Italy and really talked to Mother and began the brothers, the Benedictine Oblates, Benedictine Brothers of the Divine Will. So, again, we're all interconnected. Everyone here has a very special role. Everyone here, Jesus is depending on us to bring about a change in the world. And I've mentioned this before, but when we were at the meeting the Archbishop, and we saw from all over the world people who have prayer groups, Divine Will prayer groups, what was really amazing is South Korea had so many prayer groups in the Divine Will. So you think what's happening in South Korea is what, because of Trump? Possibly. But it's because of the prayers of the little children in the Holy Divine Will. As we begin to pray in the Divine Will, learning this command prayer that Jesus teaches Louisa. And if you don't know about the command prayer, I think we did this in August of 2014. What you're going to see is he says, Adam didn't pray. Adam had no need to pray. So when we look at sacred scripture, the first one, the one who has the keys, Peter, when Jesus was walking on the water, Peter says to Jesus, if you are the Messiah, command me to come to you. And Peter gets out of the boat and walks on the water. No human can do that. That's a divine reality. And I think this is what Jesus is showing us. He's showing us that he wants us to begin to do divine things. Like Sunday was the feast where Jesus says, you must bear fruit. You must be fruitful. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. And when you're connected to me, you will bear fruit. What Jesus says to Louisa is, are the saints, are the flowers on the tree. That's as far as you could go as a saint. Now, Jesus says, with the little children of the Holy Divine Will, now I want you to be fruitful and multiply. The fruit has the seed to produce other trees. This has not happened before in the history of the church. You've had holy people, saintly people, good people. And we have a great devotion to the saints. We love the saints. But to live in the divine will is to bear fruit. As God said to Adam, be fruitful and multiply. Why could Adam do that? Because Adam lived in the divine will. Adam was the first one to live in the divine will. And Eve needed to be tested, Jesus says. She was there in the presence of Adam, living in the divine will. But she had to be tested. And the funny thing about it is, when she was tested, Adam failed. Just shows you. It always, you can live with him. You can live with him. No, I'm sorry. Sorry. It's just, God is. But see, God knew that Adam was going to fail. That this is why we can say on Holy Saturday, oh, happy fault of Adam. It's God is going to give us more. And what this is what God gave to Louisa. What God gave to Louisa is really a new beginning. What God gave to Louisa is to begin to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. What I normally like to have, you know, is a crucifix with Louisa, next to Louisa, with the Blessed Mother. Because Mary is our mother. Mary is our queen. Mary has been given to us as our mother, our queen, by Jesus on the cross. And what we've learned, like for St. Louis de Montfort, we celebrated that feast day last Saturday. St. Louis de Montfort, what did Jesus say? To Jesus through Mary. And that's where everybody is in the church who loves Our Lady, to Jesus through Mary. Now, with this book here, and we're on day five, The Virgin Mary and the Kingdom, it's to Jesus and Mary through Louisa. It's the new Adam and the new Eve. So God is saying, I want more for you. I want you now to begin to live my life and my mother's life. So what God is doing is he's bringing us to a higher degree. So he says, basically, he can say, Louisa, why are you looking for my mother outside of yourself? See, Jesus says, whenever I say me, it's always with my mother. So how can you live, how can you look for me and my mother outside of yourself? Well, you could find more easily Jesus and Mary within yourself. And it's the same thing for us. The book that's out, The Prodigies of the Blessed Virgin Mary, is so powerful. It is so, if you find a priest who loves Our Lady, give them the book, and they don't love the divine will, give them the book, The Prodigies. What they will begin to experience, if they don't have this one first, if they don't read this, they will lose this great blessing that God wants to give to the world, and that is His mother. It's Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And the firstborn who possesses this life is Louisa. So he says, when you want to find me, enter into yourself. Go deep into your nothing, and there, without yourself, in the most tiny circle of your nothingness, you will see the foundations that the divine being has laid within you, as well as the factories it raised in you, Louisa. See, there's a kingdom there. Look and see. Now, Jesus tells Louisa to write this for our benefit. Look and see this. Begin to understand what I, the Lord God, Jesus says to us, want to show you. I want to show you more than I showed the saints. Again, the saints were the flowers on the tree. Louisa is the one who's the first fruit. And then what Louisa does is what Adam did, in God's image and likeness, to do what God does. So Louisa says, I looked again and I saw solid foundations and very high walls that reached up to the heavens. But that which stupefied me was to see that the Lord Jesus had done this beautiful work upon my nothingness. And the walls were all walled up with no openings. You know what the walls are for? They keep the demons away. The demons cannot climb these walls. Now, we look at our own life. We're filled with worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. It's constant. And Jesus says, I put you in these situations to help you overcome worry, overcome fear, overcome anxiousness, to overcome sin. So when we learn to say fiat in all situations, fiat, let it be done to me as you say, But the more that we learn this beautiful gift of the fiat, that Jesus lived, not my will, Heavenly Father. I've not come to do my will, but yours. Our Lady's fiat, let it be done to me as you say, fiat mihi. And now the fiat voluntas tua, may your kingdom come and reign in me on earth as the saints possess it now in heaven. See, there's no worry in heaven. There's no fear in heaven. There's no anxiety in heaven. There's no complaints in heaven. So what Jesus is asking of us is to begin to live this abundant life of peace, joy, and happiness. And we can read the lives of the saints, and they're beautiful. They're holy. They help us. But that's really volume 1 through volume 10. And if you really study volume 1 through volume 10, you will know everything that Jesus taught the saints. Why? Because Jesus is teaching you, not a saint. So what the Lord is asking of us, he's really asking us to go to Louisa. So, and this is what he says. God is going to do the same thing within us as he's done within Louisa. The Lord has done this beautiful work upon our nothingness. So if you haven't read the nothingness talk or document, you know, again, they're all on divinewill.org. Download it and say, Jesus, teach me your nothingness. Teach me how to live in my nothingness, excuse me. And what the Lord will do is he says, I cannot work as a God if you're there. I mean, how many people say, I worry about my children, I worry about my children, I worry about my children. Give them to God. No, I worry about my children, I worry about... Give them to God. No, I worry... Until you surrender what you love to God, God says it's yours. You want to save them? Go right ahead. And I will prove to you, Jesus says to each and every one of us, that you're a total failure in being God. They're not going to listen to you. They're not going to respond to you. They're going to reject you. They're going to misunderstand you. They're going to spit it. So until finally we say, I can't do this, God goes, good. I will do it. But you have to live in your nothingness. You have to trust me completely. No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. So this nothingness is basically the foundation of living in the divine will. And Louisa lived in her nothingness. So we're going to learn from her. And these walls that God is going to build will keep out worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. They can't touch you. They can't unless you break down the walls and say, okay, I'm going to take control. I'm going to be something. I'm going to take care of the situation. And God says, fine. And then when we're, abandoned, spit upon, ridiculed, laughed at, rejected, then we go, well, I guess I can't do this. And God goes, that's right. Let me do this. So Jesus says this. Or Louisa says this. One could see only one opening in the vault, and that corresponded only to heaven. This is great. And in this opening dwelled our Lord Jesus Christ and the Blessed Mother on a stable column, Jesus and Mary, two columns, that rose out of the foundations and formed over what? Nothing. That's God. And if we're something, if we think we're important, if we think we're necessary, God goes, I will make sure that you understand that you're not anything. And if you are something, I can't be there. So God has to work on our nothingness. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He is our Master. He is our King. He is our God. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. He has to be in charge in our nothingness. So what he's going to do is he's going to test us. He's going to say, what about this situation? What about that situation? Are you going to worry? Are you going to be fearful? I mean, every one of us is suffering physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. Every one of us is, to a greater or lesser degree, next to the person that is sitting next to us. And what this does is, this is our cross. This is our life. And until we embrace the cross, that's what basically volume 1 through volume 10 shows us. How to live in our nothingness. How to embrace the cross. And then you go to volume 11 through volume 19. How to live with the fullness of the divine will. How to begin to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, none of us have this fullness yet. This is a promise of Jesus. None of us has this yet, but it's going to happen. Jesus is faithful to his promises. And then, finally, volume 20 through volume 36, how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. This is what Jesus is waiting for. So he says, or Luisa says, now while I was looking all stupefied, blessed Jesus added, the foundations formed over nothing means that the divine hand of God operates there where there is nothing. Remember, when God said fiat lux, there was nothing there. Let there be light. And everything began. Now listen to this. This is great. The second light was in the Shroud of Turin. The newest study of the Shroud of Turin is this was an explosion of light. They said 64 million watts in an instant, in a microsecond. And in the microsecond, you can see Jesus' hands moving in that Shroud of Turin. This is what's going. This is what the church. This is what science is saying. The body was moving in that microsecond of burst of light. It's a whole new beginning for the world. Fiat lux was great, but the fiat mihi of Our Lady, and now Jesus' burst of light, is greater than all of creation. And now Jesus tells us about this third burst of light, which is Luisa. It has to be a human, which Jesus says is greater than creation and redemption. A human sharing in divinity. This is what's going to bring back every Jew and Buddhist and Hindu and Muslim and Protestant to want to be a practicing Catholic is this third burst of light. This is why the Vatican, if you haven't got the green book from the Vatican, read what the Vatican says. The Son of my will is Luisa Picaretta, is implied. The Son of my divine will, Luisa Picaretta. See, the church knows, even if it doesn't know the fullness of Luisa, something great is coming. So Jesus says this, the divine will never mixes its works with material works, with human works. The walls without opening around the soul means that the soul must have no correspondence with earthly things. So what does Jesus do? He begins to eliminate things from our lives. And it's family, friends, neighbors, co-workers, and parishioners. That's the first thing that he eliminates. And it's not because he's a mean God. It's because he says, I have something important for you and the divine will to do. So the first thing is earthly things begin to disappear. Your favors, what do you want to say? Your delights, your hobbies, your sports, everything begins to fall apart. And Jesus says, when you start to read, I will take care of everything. See, there's an emptiness in each and every one of us that only can be filled with God. And when you don't have God, you fill it with sports, you fill it with hobbies, you fill it with things to do, you know. And Jesus says, I want to fill you with myself. I want you to share in my divinity. When the priest puts the drop of water into the chalice every day, filled with wine, I want you to share in my divinity. So he says, see, that drop of water is, if you want to say, our nothingness. As it enters into the wine and fuses and diffuses, it becomes wine. It's not oil and water. It doesn't separate. Jesus says, I want you to share in my divinity. The walls without openings around means the soul must have no correspondence with earthly things in such a way that there may be no danger that even a little bit of dust may enter because everything is walled up well. See, God is going to take care of us. And this is why he tests us. Are you going to worry about this? Are you going to be afraid of this? Are you going to be anxious about this? What do you want? I have to give you what you want. So most people who say, well, I have to worry about my family. God says, okay, fine. You got three things that you can get out of this. You can get a stroke, a heart attack, or an ulcer. Which one do you want? And when we say, Jesus, I trust you. This is the whole reason for divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. Then we can go to the next step, that I am confident that you are my Lord, you're my Savior, you're my Master, you're my King, you're my all. You have this under control because you are God. I'm not going to worry. See, until we come to that point of having no dust, worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, sin, because we are walled up in God. We trust God. God is our everything. Until that happens, we will continue to worry, be fearful, be anxious, complaining, be negative. And then we have our three things that we can do. An ulcer, a heart attack, or a stroke. You know, whatever you want. So God is freeing us. So he says, and that is from nothing to heaven, from heaven to nothing. This is heaven and earth kissing, what Scripture says. And this is the meaning of the opening made in the vault. The stability of the column, and it's Jesus and Mary, means that the soul is so stable with Jesus and Mary in the good of God, in the new Adam, the new Eve. There is no contrary wind that can move her. And my dwelling upon it, Mary's dwelling upon it, is the sure sign that the work done is fully divine. Jesus and Mary. We don't go to Louisa for Louisa's sake. Jesus said to Louisa, Louisa, you're nothing but a blade of grass. He says, but I chose you to be the first one to possess this gift of Jesus and Mary. And when we embrace this gift, how glorious it is. Volume 9, 9 to 10. My daughter Louisa, yet for me it was a relief, and I felt as though refreshed, especially in those souls who were truly coming to do good. In these times, truly, there is a lack of those who cast true interior spirit into souls, because not having it in themselves, they cannot infuse it in others. So they teach the souls to be touchy, to be scrupulous, to be insignificant, light, without true foundation of detachment from everything and everyone. Well, so when somebody says to me, Father, I lost my best friend, I go, good. Good. God is freeing you. And if you're not detached from everyone and everyone, this produces sterile virtues, which go about blooming and then they die. No fruit. You see, we have to begin to say fiat. You live with a noisy neighbor downstairs, Jesus wants that. You live with a neighbor next door who knocks down your fences, Jesus wants that. He wants to test you. Are you going to be upset? Or are you going to laugh and say, you're in charge, Lord. I really want to see how you're going to do this one. This person is a pain in the where, whatever. And you, Lord, are going to take care of it. And then what happens is when they cause trouble, you smile. It's no worry, no fear, no anxiety, no complaints, no negativity, no sin. What happens at that point is I want to see God work. You promised me, Jesus, and I'm happy to see you, Lord God Almighty, produce something out of this negative. And he does. See, even in your family, when you begin to live in the divine will, and again, nobody's living fully in the divine will, but when you begin to read and you begin to be peaceful and joyful and happy, when your family comes to you or you go to your family, you don't have to say anything because the divine will is there in the midst of creatures. It's changing your family without you. You don't have to say a word. You are peaceful. You are joyful. You are happy, even in bad situations. You're saying God is going to take care of this. This is one of the reasons I ask that you read every day. Just I go through the saints every day, and what I do is I read how they died. And when it says natural death, I just continue to go to the next one. But when it says murdered or crucified or, you know, scalped or, you know, beheaded, I go, well, let me read more about this person. It's that God was freeing them. But see, God wants more from us than from the saints. He wants us to begin to live a peaceful, joyful, happy life. Heaven amid our situations. So we're going to learn. You can pray to some of the saints. Some saints will be very important to you. And you could say to Jesus, you know, help them. Have them come to me to help me in my situation. Because it's a little bit like what they did. But they suffered to the end. We're not suffering to the end at this point. So we don't want this scrupulousness. We don't want this sterility. We want to live this abundant life. And some think, listen to this, they make progress with souls because they reach minuteness and scrupulousness in such instead of progress. And these are true hindrances which ruin the souls. And my love remains on an empty stomach with them. See, what God has given to us with this book of heaven is the first bread. It's the bread of the divine will. He's feeding us. And we are feeding him. You know, we receive Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And Jesus says, when you begin to live in the divine will, I want to receive you as my food. I mean, think about that. You know, we love the Blessed Sacrament. We love to be in front of the Blessed Sacrament. We love to be with Jesus. But Jesus, he's our food. Every day we have the second bread, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist. And Jesus says, Louisa, once you begin to live in the divine will, you become my food. You nurture me with myself because Jesus is reigning in us. And again, we can't say we're living in the divine will when we go to confession each week. Confession each week is our human misery. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. That's our human misery. And I can guarantee you that when the illumination of conscience comes, every one of us is going to be terrified. Because we're going to see all the things we thought, all the things we said, and all the things we did, and all the things we failed to do. And it's going to be horrible. Because we're not going to just see how we offended God. We're going to see how we offended everyone around us with our look, with our voice, with our impatience, how it affected everybody. And so the illumination of conscience is going to be, if we survive, it's going to be amazing. Because he's going to show us sin to us is nothing. I mean, just look at the television. It's filled with breaking every commandment. The Titanic, the movie that won all those awards, every commandment was broken. And we cheered. And we watch it. I mean, I know people, I don't watch it, but people watch it every, you know, they want to see this misery. So Jesus says to us, I'm going to bring you to a place where you'll be free of everything. Worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. I'm going to, see, this is what God's going to do with the priesthood. He's going to change the priesthood. That's what he promises Louisa. The rectories are empty. The hospitals are full. The psychiatric units are full. The prisons are full. And why, Jesus says? Because the priests aren't doing their job. All they can do is give, like he says, you make progress by being touchy, scrupulous, light, without a true foundation. So Jesus says, I'm going to change this. This is one of God's greatest promises. The psychiatric units will be closed. The hospitals will be closed. The prisons will be closed. When the divine will begins to reign. And he's saying to us, I want you to begin to live this life in your family, with your friends, with your neighbors, with your coworkers, with your parishioners. You don't have to give them the evil eye. How dare you? It's, Lord, I want to repair this. I want to redo this. I want you, Lord, to be the Lord of our lives. Therefore, since I, Jesus, have given you, Louisa, much light about the interior ways, and I have made you, Louisa, comprehend the truth about the true virtues and the true love, and since you, Louisa, are in the truth, through your mouth, I, God, could make others comprehend the truth about the true path of virtues, and I, God, felt contentment because of this. So as you're reading this, God is changing us. As we read this, as we study this, as we put this into practice, God is changing us. We're entering into the way, the truth, and the life. We're entering into the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. Volume 12, 11, 27, 17. In all the sanctities, there have always been saints who first started each kind of sanctity. So that there was a saint who started the sanctities of the penitent, another who started the sanctity of obedience, another the sanctity of humility, and so with all the other sanctities. Now I, Jesus, want you, Louisa, to be the beginning of the sanctity of living in my most holy divine will, which none of the saints ever possessed. This is why when we focus on these writings, Jesus is teaching us a new and a beautiful way. It's the true life of Jesus. It's the true life of Mary. Now, we love St. Louis de Montfort, to Jesus through Mary. Now we're going to learn how to go to Jesus, Mary, the new Adam, the new Eve, through Louisa. Volume 12, 5, 1, 20. My daughter, for the one, Louisa, who lives in my divine will, sanctity has only one point, a continuous glory be followed as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. That was the prayer of St. Bede. He prayed that all day long. This is a saint. He prayed it all day long. What's the difference between what St. Bede did and this? This is not a prayer. It's a life. This is why we're filled with peace, joy, and happiness. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. It's to begin to live this. It's not a prayer. There is nothing in which Louisa does not give glory to God. Think about that. You're peeling an apple. You're giving glory to God. You're walking on the sidewalk. You're giving glory to God. You're in heaven. Nothing bothers you. Everything is filled with peace, joy, and happiness. You look at a tree and you say, Lord Jesus, I want to look at that tree as you looked at that tree to give the Father perfect glory, perfect honor, perfect praise, so that the kingdom can be established on earth as it is in heaven. And I pray this in the name of every human being, past, present, and future. Of course, it's glory. I knew this one girl when the New Covenant had this place, I think in Ann Arbor, Michigan. I forgot what the name of it. But anyways, this all she said was glory. You know, she's got glory. Glory. Who is this person? She was just filled with joy. Everything was glory. That's on a human level. Can you imagine on a divine level? There is nothing in which she does not give glory to God. Complete in everything. Always stable. Always equal. Always queen. Without ever changing. This sanctity is not subject to setbacks or losses, but to always reigning. Therefore, its foundation is glory be. And the prerogative is as it was in the beginning. Is now and ever shall be. Volume 12, 1, 24, 21. My daughter Louisa, calm yourself. This is what God says to us when we read. He's saying, calm down. I choose whomever I please. And he has chosen us. If we have the book of heaven, he has chosen us. We're nobody, we're nothing, we're at the bottom of the barrel, but he has chosen us. He can't find your relatives, your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers, your parishioners. They don't want this. He has given you the book, and he says, if you read this, you are chosen. And it's not to be anything important the three things, as Father Bucci says, is to be little, insignificant, and hidden. To be little, insignificant, hidden. That's prayer. You go to your room, close the door, and pray. Nobody knows about it. Nobody cares about it. And I've seen some people in church, they come in church and they spread out their arms and they lay prostrate on the floor in front of everybody. And it's not good. Be little, insignificant, and hidden. Don't let anybody know. You know, if there's people around, you wait until they leave. And then, as it says here, you let God reign. It's very beautiful. And nobody needs to know. Nobody should know. I choose whomever I please. However, know that I, God, begin all of my divine works between myself and the one creature, and then they are spread. So shall the third fiat be. I, God, it shall be germinated within you, Louisa. So where does it begin? It's in Louisa. The ear of the grain shall be formed in you, Louisa, and only the priest shall have the knowledge of this great gift of the divine will. Then a few souls, and then it shall spread. And it's spreading now. Yeah, by every word that you read, is changing you. Because God says he's expanding your capacity to embrace this gift. It shall be the same path as creation and redemption. And more, the more crushed you feel, the more the ear of the third fiat, this hasn't been seen, and is fecunded in you. And therefore, be attentive and be faithful. So the attentive and faithfulness, there's a book over there, be attentive. There's a book over there that says, you must know. Be attentive. That means read. Be attentive. That means little, insignificant, and hidden. That means you go to your room and pray. Be alone with God. Little with God. Just let as there was one, there's one of the documents. It's to be in the arms of Jesus, to really enter into the arms of Jesus, as Louisa did. To be alone with God. This is so important. And that means you turn off your TV, you turn off your sports, you turn off your hobbies, you just surrender them to God so that God can be the Lord of every aspect of your life. Volume 12, 3, 8, 28, 21. As you call my will into yourself, this too is a unique act. I love that word, unique. He has created us with different irises, different fingerprints, different voices, different heights, different colors, because he loves us. I mean, he's painting a picture with our voices, with our irises. I mean, he's painting a picture, and he says, I want to make each soul a divine masterpiece, unique in itself. So there's no jealousy in the divine will. There's no, oh, I want that. No. What is Jesus saying within you? What is Jesus showing within you? If you're not alone with him, you're never going to know. You have to hear his voice. Not your voice, his voice. His voice sounds very much like your voice. The devil's voice sounds very much like your voice. You have to begin to understand the difference. The devil mimics the light of heaven. The flames of hell always mimic the light of heaven. You have to hear Jesus' voice. And I'm not saying with your ears, but with your heart. As you read and you see this and you go, yes, that's God saying, do you want this? And our response is fiat. Yes, I want this. It's not just something to read and then be done with. It's to enter into this gift. So therefore, for the decorum of my holy divine will, which dwells in you, Louisa Picaretta, I, God, must pour into you, Louisa, so much grace, so much love, as to make you, Louisa, surpass all other creatures except the Blessed Mother. since my divine will has the supremacy over everything, and my divine will is eternal, immense, and infinite, I, God, must communicate this to you, Louisa. You are the one, listen to this, in whom the life of my divine will must have its beginning and completion. That means she has the fullness of this gift next to Jesus and Mary. Endowing and enriching Louisa with the same divine qualities of my divine will, giving Louisa supremacy over everyone and everything. My eternal volition shall take the past, the present, and the future. My divine will shall reduce them into one single point and shall pour them into you, Louisa Picaretta. This is why the church says the son of my divine will is Louisa Picaretta. My divine will is eternal. My divine will wants to have life there where it finds eternity in you, Louisa. It is immense and it wants divine life in its immensity. And it is infinite and it wants to find infinity in you, Louisa. How can I, God, find all this if I do not pour it into you, Louisa, before everyone else? So we'll end there. We'll be back in 15 minutes.